Yes, sir. I want y'all to pray that God will bless us in our radio and TV work. We put this TV work in almost 2 years ago. And it took me 5 years to get on, and each time I went, they said, "Well, preacher, you know we're not religious." I said, "Well, I know that." I said, "But God wants some time on the station." So finally they cut loose and said, "Well, preacher, it's going to cost you $183 a Sunday with a 15% discount. And that'll drop it to $155.55. I said, "Yes, sir." "You're going to have to pay 3 weeks in advance." "Yes, sir." You're going to have to keep it 2 weeks in advance." I said, "Yes, sir." So I went and borrowed $1,000 by faith. I put God in debt. So I went and paid 3 weeks down and 2 weeks in advance. But I couldn't keep it 2 weeks in advance because the money wasn't covered in. So I came down here and preached a little bit and sang a little bit, and Brother Randy said, "Now, we'll give Brother West an offering." I said, "I got $100 on the $1,000 that I owe." And so they took up offering $951.43, and they wrote the check, and Brother Randy stuck the check up here, wear it like a pocket handkerchief. So I went around to the fellowship hall, and somebody looked at it and said, "You got a good offering tonight, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, and I said, "Look at it." He said, "Got $91. I said, "You better look at that thing again." I really appreciate that. Brother Kay gave a peace, bless his heart. He's sitting back there. He came up, threw his arms around me and said, "Brother Grant, I'm going to send $100. And he sent $100 and $20. Money orders and checks, and I really appreciate that. And that made $1,051.43.
Hey,
that'd be jubilee.
Sir?
He's in a whole lot now. But I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for what you've done. I told the church and I told my family. I said, "I'm going to Glen Haven to be with Brother Randy and Brother May Jackson and the Jubilee people." And I said, "One thing about it," I said, "I'm asking God to give some money so I can pay for my room and board while I'm down there." I said, "Because they were more than nice to me." I said, "If I get anything, it's all right. If I don't, it's all right." So I'm just glad to be here, and I thank the Lord for it. One thing about the Bible is to let your needs be known, not your wants. And Brother Randy asked me how much. Now, I'll tell you what really happened to our TV program. I could have been along pretty good, you know, wouldn't been on the strain. But I had driven an automobile for 10 years and wore it out. And I was afraid to get a new car, so I bought a 64 Ford station wagon, and I drove it a while, and the motor blew up. So we went and had it fixed, and the man paid a little on it that I bought it from, and I paid a little. And then I drove it about a year, and then it blew up again. And so I said, "Now, Lord, I just got to put you in debt." I said, "I hate to hurt your feelings." And so what I did, I went and got a Buick station wagon in 1969 and had 3 seats in it. I got it so I could haul Sunday school boys and girls and men and women and use it in the TV and radio work. And I made the announcement. Now here's where I made my mistake. I told the folk on TV I had a station wagon, and I said, "I appreciate if y'all send some extra money to help me pay for it." And Dr. Billy Graham sent me a check for $100 and some of the others. But a whole lot of folks who heard me made that announcement cut their finances off. They closed up that pocketbook. So I hurt myself more than I did help myself. I said, "Poor preachers, doctors can get a new automobile, lawyers can get a new automobile, judges can get a new automobile, bowling, yeah, bootleggers. The preacher get a new automobile, walk like I walk." But the preacher got to have transportation.
Right.
Jesus had transportation. When he wasn't walking, he was riding a mule. And when he wasn't riding a mule, he was sitting in the boat. And then the last transportation he had was a cloud.
Yeah.
Well, he had transportation. Yes, sir. But y'all just don't have to pray for me, and I'm praying that God will make a way for me, but if the church folk don't stand behind this TV program, it'll go down. Because now one thing about the people, they can cut me off any time they get ready, because I'm 2 weeks behind. I can't keep it. I paid for Sunday past, but I got to pay for this Sunday. And so they haven't bothered me, but they said something a while back. I said, "Preacher, you know you're 2 weeks behind." I said, "Yes, sir."
You think
good,
you might get it.
Bless your heart. Thank you. But you pray for me that God will bless and that God will help them. Special man, I just want to say thank you for what you've done. In the third chapter of the book of Jonah, and the first two verses,
yes, Lord.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee."
Our Father in heaven, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
yes.
Say, "Our Father, you take this message and use thy glory in his name and for his sake. Amen."
Stand up, Brother O.V. I want Brother O.V. to stand up. Brother O.V. Sturgeon. Now, stand up. He came by the house and it came by the room. Memorial Drive at the motel. He came by the room and he said, "I'm going to pray for you." And we got on our knees in that room and we had prayer together.
Amen.
That did a whole lot for me. I thank God for it.
Amen.
I thank God for him.
Yes.
And I thank God for all the rest of you. There are four chapters in the book of Jonah. In the first chapter, God speaks to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, that wicked city, and preach to them, for their wickedness has come up before me." In the first chapter, it said, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now, who can run out of God's sight? "And went down to Joppa and bought a ticket and got on a boat." Now, in the first chapter, God speaks to Jonah saying, "Go to Nineveh." In the first chapter, Jonah didn't tell God he wasn't going. He just went another direction.
I like that.
Yes, sir. The reason God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, because Nineveh was a great city, but it was a wicked city. The population of Nineveh was 120,000 people. No grace at the table. No Bible reading. No prayer meeting. No seminaries. No schools of religious training. No preachers. No prophets. No missionaries. Nineveh had a lot of housewives, a lot of husbands, a lot of sons, a lot of daughters. They had banks, they had rivers, they had lakes, they had ponds. There were 15,000 towers in Nineveh, 200 feet high. The walls around the city of Nineveh, which was a city that was 60 miles round, they had a wall built around the city 100 feet high and wide enough on top for three chariots to be pulled on top of the wall side by side. It was a great city, but it was a wicked city. But I tell you about Nineveh, God loved Nineveh. God had respect for Nineveh. And God picked out one man to do the job, and that man was Jonah. He said, "Jonah, go to Nineveh." Now I want you to know something about Jonah. Jonah was an educator. He was a prophet. He was a preacher. He was a teacher. And he was a traveler. Jonah. Now, in this first chapter, instead of Jonah obeying God, he disobeyed God. Instead of going in the direction of obedience, he went in the direction of disobedience. Instead of going in the direction of love, he went in the direction of hatred. And instead of going in the direction of good, he went in the direction of badness. That was Jonah in the first chapter. In the first chapter, he goes down to Joppa and buys a ticket for the wrong city. God didn't tell him to go to Joppa, and God didn't tell him to go to Tarshish. And the Bible said he went from the presence of the Lord. Going in another direction. Every time you go in another direction, you're going away from God. But God looked at that backslidden preacher, that backslidden prophet, that backslidden educator, that backslidden missionary, that backslidden traveler. God looked at him and said, well, he's hard-headed now. He's going in the wrong direction, but I'll stop him after a while. Bought a ticket, got on that boat, and here's the thing about him. You know, when you get ready to do a whole lot of crazy things, you don't want to be bothering nobody. He bought the ticket and got on that boat and went down to the bottom of the ship. He didn't want to stay up there where the men were. He didn't want to stay where the action was going on, because he knew that somebody would ask him, what's your name? What's your occupation? Where are you headed? What are you going to do? He didn't want nobody to ask him his name or his occupation or nothing. So he picks him a spot in the bottom of the ship in a corner and goes to sleep and folds his arms. But while he was in the bottom of the ship, I want you to remember the subject. How would you like to be a Jonah? Remember that subject. How would you like to be a Jonah? Well, he was in the bottom of the ship. Now, that boat that he was on, those men were just as nice as they could be. They were minding their own business. A whole lot of time, a church can get along good, and then some hypocrite will join it and mess up everything. In the first chapter, he's asleep. Then God looked at the men who were known as the mariners, that were manning this boat. And then God looked at the boat, and God looked at the water, and God looked at the wind. And in the first chapter, God speaks to the wind and said, I want you to put yourself in four positions. I want you to go and line up down yourself down there where that boat is. I got a preacher on that boat. He's a missionary. He's a traveler. He's an educator. He's a prophet and a preacher and a teacher, but he's asleep. God said to the wind, I want the north wind to blow to the south, and the south to the north, and the east to the west, and the west to the east. Then I want all of the winds to get in a cooperative movement. The water obeyed God. The winds obeyed God. Then the winds got together. They rocked the boat. No whole lot of folk go around and say, don't rock the boat, children. But the wind rocked the boat, and then they put the boat in a spin. And when the mariners found out what was going on, they said, something wrong. Something wrong. chicken. They started throwing off the tea and the sugar and the milk and the hardware and the clothing and everything that they had on there, on the boat. They threw it out. Said, we'd rather lose all the stuff than to lose our lives. But getting rid of the stuff that was on the boat, or in the boat, didn't stop the wind from blowing. Didn't stop the zigzag lightning from doing her duty. Didn't stop the thundering, didn't stop the pealing thunder from thundering. Didn't stop the rain from falling. Didn't stop the storm from making up, because there was a Jonah on that boat. God said, I'm going to destroy him. Yeah. He doesn't have any business on that boat. And if God tells us to do something, you ought to do it without grumbling, arguing, or complaining, or putting up excuses. Jonah didn't make no excuse. He just got on the wrong boat. He didn't tell God he wasn't going. He just didn't go. He didn't argue with God. In the first chapter, everything got out of the boat. Then the men began to cast lots. They began to examine themselves, and the men began to say, well, I left my family all right this morning. I didn't hit my wife over the head with a chair. I didn't fuss at the children. I got things under control. I'm all right. Yeah. And when they got through casting lots, the lot fell on Jonah. Then one of the men said, you know, there's something going on strange on this boat. Said, you know, we picked up a fella back there at Joppa and said he was going to Tarshish. Said, we better go and wake him up and let him start praying. Yeah. And the first thing they called Jonah, shook him and said, hey, sleeper. Call him a sleeper. Shook him. Wake up, sleeper. Start calling on your God. And Jonah said, well, this is in the first chapter. He says, no use for me to call on God, because I'm the cause of you being in this terrible predicament that you're in. They looked at him and said, what's your name? My name's Jonah. What's your occupation? Well, I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, I'm a missionary, and I'm a prophet. Well, what are you doing on this boat? Oh, I was supposed to go to Nineveh, but I didn't want to go because those are Gentiles over there, and I'm a Jew. And I just can't stand the presence of a Gentile. So I'm going away from them. So they looked at Jonah and said, You got us in a bad fix. And Jonah, and I hear what Jonah said in the first chapter. In the first chapter, he wanted to commit suicide, but he wanted somebody else to do his killing for him. Hear what he said to the men. He said, now, if you want the winds to stop blowing, if you want the waters to behave herself, if you want this boat to stop rocking, take me up and throw me overboard. Now that's what he told the men. The men said, well, look here, you God's man, and we're not supposed to touch God's anointed. He said, well, if you don't get rid of me, said, all of us are going now. And those men got to rowing that boat. They carried the boat about 300 feet. And God let the wind blow the boat back 600 feet. They weren't making any progress at all. Then after a while, they looked at Jonah and said, well, preacher, you got to go. That's the first chapter. So they caught him by the left arm and caught him by the left leg. Caught him by the right arm and the right leg. And carried him to the edge of the boat and said, preacher, we hate to do this. And they took him and pitched him in the water. In the first chapter, I want in the first chapter, I want you to notice that when those men came to get Jonah, he didn't struggle, he relaxed. He didn't put up a fight. Now, if that were you or me on a boat and somebody tried to throw us out, we'd struggle. Man, don't throw me in that water. We'd muscle up and try to say, well, if I go in the water, somebody go and listen. But Jonah didn't say that. Jonah just relaxed and said, come on and get me. And they got him. Now, one thing about Jonah, in the first chapter, he would rather die and go to hell than to go to Nineveh and preach God's word to 120,000 lost folk. Missionary, prophet, preacher, teacher, educator. But I'm full of hatred. I don't care nothing about those Ninevites. That's not my kind. That's not my class. In the first chapter. All this in the first chapter. You know, Jonah thought it would all be over with as he hit the water. But you can't outsmart God. See, God had a fish that he had already fixed up. And God told the fish, said, I got a certain boat I want you to hang around. Spirit on the inside of those scales than Jonah had.
Yes.
The fish obeyed God and said, all right, I'm at your service, Lord. Now you're talking about these New York Giants and these Brooklyn Dodgers and these fellas that play ball, but I want to tell you, nobody can outdo God when it comes to catching. God told the fish, I want you to catch a certain man when he hits the water. And God told the fish, you don't have to worry about him because nothing in the water looks like it. Yes, sir. So, in the first chapter, when Jonah was thrown into the water, God told the fish, put yourself in an upright position. He stood himself in an upright position. Jonah hit the water. God said, all right, open up. Fish opened his mouth, and Jonah went down into the fish's mouth, down into the fish's throat, down into the fish's belly, and the fish made a dive for the bottom of the ocean. He thought it'd be all over with. But look at Jonah in the first chapter. There were too many downs in the first chapter. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the sea. He went down to the boat. Then he went down into the bottom of the ship. Then he went down into the water. Then he went down into the fish's mouth. Then he went down to the fish's throat. And he went down to the fish's belly. And then the fish made a dive for the bottom ocean. And every step that Jonah made, it was down, 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 down. Whenever you walk away from God, you go down every time. Yes, sir. You go down every time, and he went down. In the second chapter. In the second chapter, the fish is on the bottom. And Jonah is at the bottom. At the bottom, in the fish, on the bottom. You know what? You're talking about some loud praying and loud crying and loud hollering. He did a whole lot. And that fish was wondering what was going on the inside of him. See, that fish had a prophet on the inside of him. And God just said, I don't have to worry about Jonah. I'll breathe for him. I'll just breathe for him, and I'll let him live 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly. No, we have a whole lot of theologians who don't believe that the fish swallowed Jonah.
This is allegorical. It's a myth. It's just a story. It says nothing to it. But one thing that some of these devils can't do, they can't destroy the word prepare. In Jonah 1 and 17, it said, now the Lord had prepared Ishish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the bed of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. The word pre means before, and paro means to make ready. So God had the fish already made ready. His belly was big enough, his mouth was big enough, and the throat was big enough, and the fish was big enough to hold Jonah, and Jonah was small enough to be swallowed up by the fish. In the second chapter, he pities himself. Oh, God. All the slimy grass and weed is wrapped around my face and around my neck. He said, I'm in hell, but it's a wet hell. It was a slick hell. It was a slimy hell. And it was a wet hell. It was a miserable hell, but he wasn't burning. But he was soaked. That's about as bad as being hot. And look at Jonah. In the second chapter now, he's saying, God, if you let me out of this fish's belly, I'll pay my vows. See, your vow is your debt to your God, promise you made to him. Now, Lord, I know I've done wrong, and I know I've gone contrary to your will, but if you let me out of the belly of this wet hell, I'll go to Nineveh. Yeah. I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll say what you want me to say, and I'll live like you want me to live, if you let me out. In the second chapter, God didn't say a word to Jonah. And I want to tell you one thing. To be out of communication with God 3 days and 3 nights is stupid. That's right. It's stupid to not hear from heaven in 3 days or 3 nights. If you've been born of the Spirit of God, you can hear from him all day long. If you've been born of the Spirit of God at the midnight hour, you can say, Lord, are you there? He said, I'm right here. And in the morning when you wake up, he's right there. I know he's right there.
Yes.
Yes, sir. In the second chapter, on the bottom ocean, screaming and crying, but for 3 days and 3 nights, God didn't say a word to that preacher, didn't say a word to that prophet, that missionary, that backslidden prophet. Didn't say a word to him. But when God got ready to give order, you know what he did? The Bible said he spake to the fish. He spake to the fish, told the fish, you kept them in fish jail house long enough. Came to the bank. Fish started wagging his tail. A good whipping, and when he gets through whipping us, then he comes around and kind of pets us a little to let us know he still loves us.
Amen.
He looked at Jonah and said, the journey you got to make is a 3 days journey, but I'm going to put you in overdrive. You know what he did? Now, so everybody got one of these automobiles with the accelerator and the speed all tied in together, all have to do is just mash down on it, jumps in another gear and keep jumping. Go and look at Jonah and hang some overdrive gears on him. And he outwalked everybody. Yes, he did. He kept walking and kept walking. Somebody said, where are you going? I'm going to Nineveh. Going to Nineveh. God in Nineveh.
Yes.
I'll tell you one thing, he didn't lose no time. If you don't believe he was in overdrive, read what it said. It said, now Jonah began to enter into the city, which was a 3 days journey in 1 day. He made a two-day journey in one day because God had him in overdrive. There's a whole lot of us need to get in overdrive. We need to get in overdrive and get in the highest of God because souls are dying everywhere. We're still dragging around. A lot of us, we need to get in overdrive. If this Jubilee service don't put you in overdrive, you better get some religion. Yes, sir. Third chapter, he goes. The third chapter, he lifts up his voice and preaches a nine-word sermon. Yet, within 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nine words. That's all he said, just nine words, and kept walking. And when the king heard the message, the nine-worded message from the man of God walking down through his country, he said, I want everybody to put on a fast. Now, this king had a lot of sense. And then this king was scared, too. He was so scared until he called on dogs and cats and everything to pray. Yes, he did. He said, I want everybody that's in Nineveh that got breath in them to call on God.
Yes.
Don't slap the hogs. Don't feed the chickens. Don't milk the cows. Don't bother with the chickens. Don't bother nothing but get on your knees and wrap yourself up in sackcloth and ashes and call on God, and maybe God will change his mind and give us another chance. We know we've done wrong in the sight of God, and we've taken God's name in vain. We haven't lived according to God's rules and God's regulations. And maybe if we get on our knees and call on God, maybe God will give us another chance.
Yeah.
And the king and his subjects and everybody wrapped themselves up in sackcloth and ashes and got down on the knees and said, oh, Lord, give us another chance. Lord, we don't want you to destroy our city.
Yes.
Ah, Lord, if you give us another chance, we'll live like you want us to live. Oh, they called on God, and God cleaned their soul from sin. The folk got saved, but in the third chapter, he's still walking. Overdrive, still walking. He keeps walking until he finds them a bank, a ditch bank in the fourth chapter now. In the fourth chapter, he sits down on the ditch bank, and after he preached that nine-word sermon, he preached it from his mouth. He didn't preach it from his heart. That was a nine-word sermon from his mouth.
Yes.
If he'd have preached it from his heart, he would have done some evangelistic work in Nineveh. See, because God had a whole lot of potential there.
Yes.
Just 120,000 folk, but they were worth being saved.
Yes.
Just 120,000 folk, but they were worth being evangelized. Just 120,000 folk, but they were worth having prayer bands and evangelistic conferences and Jubilee services. He could have had one of the greatest Jubilee services he's ever had. After he preached, the folk had to have the Jubilee service by themselves. He was sitting on the ditch bank. Mad at God and mad at the people, and then God had to leave his business undone and go and sit down by Jonah and say, what's the matter with you? What you mad about? I'm mad because I had to come to Nineveh and preach to these folks. You know I didn't like them. You know I didn't care nothing about this. This is not my kind. This is not my class. If you'd have sent me somewhere else, I might have gone. But God looked at Jonah and pitied Jonah. Jonah's sitting out there in the hot sun. And time had taken his hair out. The Bible said he was bald-headed. He's not a disgrace to be bald-headed because I've been lost a lot of mine. But I believe it was sin that made Jonah bald-headed. Disobedience. Meanness. Contrary. Awkward. Stupid. Backslidden. No God. And he didn't use good sense either. Sitting on the ditch bank telling God, I didn't want to come here because I knew you were not God. But God said, the people in Nineveh don't know the right hand from the left hand. He said, I love the people in Nineveh just like I love you. I don't care. I don't like them. The other man done preached a 9-word sermon and 120,000 folk got saved. If that had been me, I'd have been there shouting on my head. Yes, sir! He could have established churches. He could have established schools of religion,
yeah.
Seminaries,
yeah.
Prayer meetings,
yeah.
Prayer bands,
yeah.
Had schools where God's children could come and sit down and study God's word together. But it was too lazy to do. He was mad. In the first chapter, he was mad enough for somebody to throw him in the water. And then he got good enough in the second chapter to pray to repent his way back to God. Then in the third chapter, he preached a 9-word sermon, and 120,000 folk got saved, and he got mad because the folk got saved. Read the book. Here it is, 4 chapters. First chapter, he runs from God. Second chapter, he prays his way back. Third chapter, he preaches a 9-word sermon. 120,000 folk got saved. Fourth chapter, he's mad about it. Isn't that bad? That's bad. Here, many of us, we've had a lot of TV programs and radio programs and evangelistic conferences and jubilee services, and sometimes 1 or 2 folk get saved, and we shout that all night long about that. The other man got a whole lot of folk saved and mad about it. I don't understand it either. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to be no Jonah. The reason I'm not going to be no Jonah, because I don't want God to swallow me up, let some fish swallow me up. You know, God got more than meat fishes. You know, he can use the fish of sickness. He can use the fish of crippleness. Yeah, God knows how to knock us down. But I'm glad about it. I'm glad those folk had sense enough to repent of all of their sins. And when they repented of all their sins, God put a song on the end of their tongue. God put love in their heart and joy in their souls. God put shouting in their feet. All over Nineveh, the people were praising God, but Jonah was sitting on the beach bang mad. Look at Jonah. 10 fingers, not working for God. 10 toes, not working for God. 2 feet, still in hypocrisy. 1 big mouth, going to strike on God. 2 eyes, don't want to report heaven. 2 ears, plugged up by the devil. 1 heart, stuffed up with the wrong thing. 1 mind that's been unregulated by the devil. And he's sitting out on the ditch bank. Then God began to preach the sermon to Jonah. Said, Jonah, I see you got 10 fingers. Yeah, I got 10 fingers. There's none of your business. And God said, well, in Nineveh, 420,000 folks got 1,200,000 fingers, and they're waving at me right now. He looked at Jonah and said, Jonah, I feel sorry for you. You got 2 feet. That did a little bit of walking for me, but you're not walking for me now. But in Nineveh, I got 240,000 shouting feet. They're shouting right now. Whoa! Shouting! Shouting to my glory! Shouting in my name! Ah, Johnny, you ought to shout some! I'm not going to shout. Look at Jonah. To Jonah. I'm sorry that you're sitting on the ditch bank in this terrible predicament that you're in. Say, you got 2 eyes that did a lot of seeing, but now you don't want to use your eyes for me. But in Nineveh, I got 240,000 eyes looking at me right now. No wonder David said, I look to the hills from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord. Oh, yeah. My help comes from God who made me and put me into the world. My. You look at Jonah. So Jonah, something else I want to say about you. You got two knees that used to bow in prayer, but you're too mad now to bow in prayer. But in Nineveh, I got 240,000 knees bowing before me right now. Jonah said, I don't care how many knees are bowing. I don't care how many eyes are looking. And I don't care how many feet are walking and shouting and jumping. It's not my feet. Then God looked at Jonah again and said, Jonah, I see you got two ears hanging on the side of your head. Watch out! But Jonah and Nineveh, I got 240,000 ears. They heard everything I say. They heard that nine-worded sermon and all of those ears are wide open.
Yeah.
But Jonah, you don't want to hear nobody. You're in a bad fit.
Yeah.
Jonah said, yeah, I'm mad. And then he told God, said, I'm mad enough to die. But I want to tell you right now, don't you be no Jonah. If you turn out to be a Jonah, you can't get no soul saved. If you turn out to be a Jonah, you'll preach something, then you won't believe it in yourself. Jonah preached a nine-word sermon, didn't have no faith in it, didn't have no confidence in it, didn't have no belief in it. All that means the same thing. I just want to say that. But I want to tell you one thing about Nineveh. Nineveh got saved. If you study the history of Nineveh, that nine-word sermon called the city of Nineveh to stay together for 100 years. And every time the folk got ready to do wrong in Nineveh, they thought about that preacher walking through the dusty streets of Nineveh saying, yes, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I want to tell you, in this Jubilee service, and all the service that we're in, you have a good time to tell about God's word. You have a better chance than Jonah. Because you can preach to more folks than Jonah on the radio and TV and all over in these foreign countries. I thank God for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
We not only want to be no Jonah because I want my feet to still shout for God.
Yeah.
We not only want to be no Jonah, I want my ears to still open for God.
Yeah.
We not don't want to be no Jonah. I want my hands to still clap for God. We not don't want to be no Jonah. I want my tongue to keep speaking God's praise. We not don't want to be no Jonah. I want the Lord to use me. Oh, I want the Lord to use me. My. Praise God. I'm going to sing a verse or two of a song now. Somebody asked me, said, preacher, what did you do with Jonah? I left him sitting on the ditch bank with God. That's where I left him, sitting on the ditch. I got him out the belly of the fish. That's as far as I can. But you better not be no Jonah, because Jonah was full of stuff. He's full of the wrong stuff. Prejudice, hatred, meanness, disobedience. But one thing he did, he preached that nine-word sermon and got all those folks saved, and then he got mad about it. Now, don't you think that sounded real stupid? He preached a nine-word sermon, all those folks got saved, and then he's mad about it. And we preached and credit. I looked at Brother Allen last night. He preached until his coat was wet, his pants were wet, and everything he had on was wet. From his collar on down, just pouring out his soul, trying to get the message over. And Jonah didn't sweat one bit. And 120,000 folks got saved, and he was mad about it. We're going to sing this song here that I like. Now, I want you to pray for it as we try to sing the song. I believe it's 395. This song is my testimony. Because there's nothing between my soul and the Savior.
Jonah had hatred between God and himself. That's when God said, "I'm that good thing to talk to him." And the last word God said to Jonah was "chatter." The last word he said, "Jonah, in the city of Nineveh, there's much people, there's much cattle." That's the last word he said to him, "Cattle." Preacher, what you gonna do with it? I listen to God, but I promise God that I never will be Jonah. When the person becomes a Jonah, a Jonah loses and then he calls other folks to lose. And I'm thankful there's nothing to see. Does somebody play that on the organ, too? I'd like to have the organ and the piano on this. If there's anyone here tonight, I want you to be honest now. I want you to be fair with yourself. Whether you be a man, a woman, or a girl. See, all the Jonahs are not in the pulpit. Jonah can be anywhere on the fly, in the corner, at the board. Deacon board, trustee board, out there in the pew. If God told you to go a certain place and you didn't go, God would come and ask God to forgive you. If God told you to be a missionary, you ought to come and bow before him and say, "God,
yes.
I haven't done this, but I'm ready." Jonah was not ready. If there's anyone who would like to come, if you hadn't been treating God fair, you ought to come and bow for prayer. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nor the world is loosed ever be.
Thank you. said, God, the doubt of misery. And I know, I know it's real.
I like the second verse.
Then with the truth came close and searching, all my joy would disappear.
Quite natural.
For I did not have the witness of the Spirit right and clear. If at times the coming judgment would appear before my mind, oh, it made me so uneasy. Oh, what mind I could not deny. Oh, it's real. And I know it's real.
Isn't that this last verse? This makes the devil mad.
Oh, I pray to God in earnest, and not caring what folks say. I was hungry for the blessing. It must be said. When at last by faith I touched him, and like love from smitten deal, just so quick salvation reached me. Oh, bless God. I know it's real. Oh, it's real. It's real. Oh, I know it's real. Say, God, the doubt
and
I know it's real. Oh, it's real. It's real. Oh, I know it's real. Thank God for that. And I know, thank God it's real. God in earnest, that's what y'all do. And not caring what folks say, I was hungry for the blessing. My poor soul, it must be said. When at last, by faith, I touched him. And like God from smitten, you're so quick, salvation reached me. Oh, bless God, I know it's real. Oh, it's real.
And I know it's real. Oh, it's real. I said it's real. Down, I said, and I know.